Hello. Welcome to this podcast preview over the upcoming The Server-Side Java Symposium in Las Vegas. Today I'm speaking with Matt Rabel, an open source frameworks consultant and track chair for the Frameworks Impasse track at the Server-Side Java Symposium. Good day, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent.
Well, great to have you here. What we're going to be doing today for the folks at home is we're going to be talking a little bit about frameworks and what they have added to the developer mix, specifically what's been good about them and what some of the pain points are. And what we're going to really be looking forward to is how this is all going to be delved into on a much deeper scale at TSSJS. So, Matt, my first question is, what have frameworks added to the landscape for developers out there? What's been good about the addition of frameworks?
So I think the biggest thing they've added is just the ability to not write boilerplate code, in the sense that the framework takes care of a lot of the things. So when you write code for your web application or whatnot, it's, you know, business logic. It's things that you want to do instead of setting up, you know, how to get requests from the parameters from the request and things of that sort. It really simplifies the ability to write an application, and it reduces the maintenance that you have because someone else is maintaining that open source framework.
And how much has the uptick been over the last year or two? I mean, obviously, you're an open source frameworks consultant. That would lead me to believe that there's a good number of people looking to leverage this ability.
Yeah, there's still a lot of in-house frameworks that people have created, and they're not using the open source as much. But open source in general has definitely taken off in the last 3 to 4 years. And so a lot of companies have started looking into the open source arena for, you know, the frameworks, so they can, you know, leverage that and not have to maintain that in-house.
And how in your experience, have you found that's really cuts down your development times, you know, speed to market, and allowed you to do, for instance, agile development as opposed to waterfall development and things like that?
Well, it really depends on the company. It really depends on the infrastructure and things of that sort. If you have a small team of developers and they really know the framework well, sure, they can, you know, pump out an application really quickly. I think, you know, the problem with the proliferation of frameworks is people think that there's a one-size-fits-all, and so they want to, you know, pick one, and then they want to use that for all applications. And that's really not the case. I think a lot of times you choose an application, and then you choose a framework after that because it's best suited for that application. So one of the things we tried to do for the Server-Side Java Symposium this year is get people that are more in the trenches to talk about their respective frameworks rather than vendors that created them or leaders of the projects that, you know, wrote the framework, because I tend to believe that companies behind certain frameworks tend to be biased, and they do try to tell people that, you know, one size fits all, and you should try to use this framework for everything. And so by getting people in the trenches, I hope to get a more generalistic view and a more, you know, real world view of, you know, this framework will work well for this, but you might choose a different one for this type of application.
And what are some of the frameworks you'll be covering at the conference? And if you could, maybe give us a little bit of a sense of some of the differences between them.
So the most popular ones that will be covered are Grails, Ruby on Rails, or JRuby on Rails. There will be a Wicket session. There will be a couple of JSF sessions. There will be one on Spring MVC. There will be one on Struts 2. And in my opinion, these are the popular ones. These are the ones that get the most press and have the most users. Of course, Tapestry 5 and Stripes, people will claim that, you know, their frameworks are up there too, but we simply didn't see the interest for those two frameworks like we did for the other ones, so that's why we chose the other ones. And, you know, there's a big difference in how people look at frameworks, you know, component-based versus request-based. You know, JSF, Wicket are all component-based. Struts 2 and Spring MVC are request-based, so, you know, what types of applications should you use those for? And then you have JRuby on Rails and you have Grails, which basically give you the full stack and are very quick to develop with. And we also have a session on Theme, so it'll be interesting to compare all those. And we do have a panel towards the end of the week where we actually get all the speakers into one room and, you know, ask them tough questions and ask them to, you know, compare their different frameworks against each other.
Yeah, I know, for instance, Rails 2 has had a heavy investment in REST. I imagine that's got some fairly large implications if you're sitting there trying to use that in a secure environment, for instance.
Right, and, you know, there's support for REST in Grails, which just had a 1.0 release, and Struts 2 as well. And, you know, the real question is, how fully are they supporting REST? And, you know, are they thinking about security and things of that sort? So I'll make sure and ask that question, you know, when I talk to the panel, because I think everyone has different conceptions on what supporting rest means.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Very good point. And, you know, we've sort of talked around this a little bit so far. Let's go directly at it. What are some of the pain points created by this proliferation of frameworks? I imagine that's a lot to stay on top of if you're, developers already have to know a lot. It seems like it's a lot more for them to know.
Right. I mean, the biggest pain point is if you have a framework that takes, I think, longer than a day or two to learn, based on your Java development experience or based on your experience with, you know, PHP or something like that. So it really depends on your background. And one of the things that I think is possible is that if you have a certain type of background or you even have a certain type of mentality, it is fully possible that you will get something like Struts 2 and be able to be productive and program fast with it. And another person might get Seam and be able to program fast with JSF. And so it might just be a personality thing, and it might be an application thing. So I think, you know, that's really tough for people to decide if, you know, this application is better written in JSF or if they're just the better person to write JSF code. So it creates a lot of confusion because people don't know, there's not enough information out there that says, you know, this is the best web framework for my needs. And, you know, one of the problems created is you have all these authors of all the frameworks and, you know, the teams that develop them, and they seem to, you know, be banging the drum that says, use my framework for everything. And that's one of the things that I've tried to talk to people about for the last couple of years is I think all these frameworks have sweet spots. And I think if the authors or the teams can realize that and say, you know, don't use my framework for this, I think that'll really help the confusion and eliminate the confusion because, you know, it's possible that you could have five different frameworks and they all work well for five different types of applications in a company. But as a CTO of a company, it's really tough to say, okay, we're going to allow five frameworks. Right, because you really want to say we have one, we have knowledge about that, and we want everyone to learn that one. So it's a problem that's pretty difficult to solve with the proliferation. But choice is good.
Is there any discussion in that you're looking for at the conference or just in the industry in general about interoperability between the frameworks? You know, maybe I'm using, you know, Grails over here and I'm using Seam over there, but is there some way to, you know, do some work better with each other than others?
Well, so Grails and Seam and Rails have all added support for things like Flex as a front end or GWT as a front end. So, you know, that's something that we're seeing with, you know, them leveraging their back end infrastructure and allowing you to choose a different client side. But as far as, you know, mixing two different frameworks in the same application, sure, you can do that. You just modify your WebXML. But in general, you know, they don't seem to be learning from each other. And one of the things I tried to encourage speakers to do in this conference is talk about their nearest competition for at least like 10 or 15 minutes, because I think people tend to have, you know, blinders on and don't really know how JSF works. They just say Wicket is great, right? And they've never written a JSF application, so do they really know, and are they really a credible source? So I've tried to encourage speakers to actually look at their competition and, you know, maybe even praise it if they like the way that it does things.
Yeah, certainly that whole learning from each other thing. I would think developers would prefer that to walking around with blinders on.
Right, it's very interesting if you look at Rails and Grails, for instance. You know, Grails is often considered a Java clone of Rails. And what I found is people that know Rails, if you talk to them about Grails and you say, you know, this is pretty easy to learn, very similar, like if you know Rails, you could probably pick up Grails in a day or two. A lot of times they really don't even know it exists. And Grails people know that Rails exists because obviously that's why it was created. And so, you know, you can't really, it's tough to compare because people just tend to concentrate and learn one instead of, you know, trying to learn more than one. And so I think that's the unique part of this conference is we give the opportunity for people to learn, you know, more than one. And by going to a session, we try to make them a little more advanced that they can really, you know, learn the internals and how things work.
And hey, it never hurts to be a hero when you get back home. So.
Right.
So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Matt. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And for those of you who've been listening, all of this stuff and more is going to be part of the Frameworks Impasse track at the Server-Side Java Symposium upcoming in Las Vegas. If you can get out there, it sounds like Matt's got a whole lot for you to digest and think about. So.
Yep. Should be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, good day, all.
All right. Take care.